Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the Dudes and Beer podcast, episode 286, 86, 85, something along those lines. Way up there in the 280s right now is where we are at. Welcome everybody, Chris Jordan here, your host. Very excited for our guest this evening. We will be having Melissa Monte of the Mind Love podcast on to talk about trying to stay positive, trying to keep things on a more positive note in our lives, trying to manifest things during this horrible, horrible time of COVID that we are all having across the globe right now. Before we welcome Melissa to the show, please do remember our show is brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. If you're a fan of podcasting like I am, want to start up a podcast for yourself, your friends, family, church, fun, school, whatever, stop on by PodcastCadet.com today. Podcasting is all we do there. We do everything from one-on-one workshops and training to consultation, audits. We have experts in the field from branding to content creation to podcast distribution, monetization, turning your business into a podcast, making podcasts for your business, the whole bit. Stop on by today. PodcastCadet.com is the website. The code that you want to use is DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. Once again, folks, our guest tonight is the amazing Melissa Monte. She has been featured on Forbes, Bazaar. She is a fantastic inspirational speaker. I had a chance to meet her and spend a couple of afternoons with her at the Texas PodCon this last year and invited her to come on the show. And things have just been crazy between both of our lives over the last year. And I'm very glad to have her on. Welcome to the show, Melissa. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. So glad to finally have you on an episode of Dudes and Beer. And I think that it's really one of those things that there is no kismet. There is a reason why things held off until right now for you to come on. It really is the fact that your story to begin with is so inspiring. And I want you to share that with our audience, of course, because it's a very integral part, I believe, of your show, the Mind Love Podcast, and what we're talking about today, which is really trying to keep a positive mental attitude in life and trying to help manifest things for ourselves that are better for ourselves, our family, for our own mental health. And in this time of COVID right now, in this time of just madness across the globe, I think it's more important than ever that we start taking moments to step away and do just that. So share with our audience a little bit about yourself and what brought you into the world of being a mentor and a host and a public speaker.
Really, what brought me into the world of helping people through stuff was I had to dig my way out of my own self-destruction for a while, and I had all this knowledge and figured it may as well not go to waste, so I should start sharing it with other people. I ended up being the person that most people would come to, my friends would come to when they needed help with something or a fresh perspective, because the only way I was going to survive my own life for a while was by shifting the way I was looking at the world. So when I was younger, I really had everything in front of me. I was a straight A student in advanced placement classes, really expected a lot of my life. And then a few things happened out of my control, including sexual assault. My friend committed suicide. My dad died, all in a very short period of time. And I really didn't know how to handle it. And so I didn't even really grieve a lot of those things for very long. I just thought I could ignore it. And I didn't realize by ignoring those things, it was going to manifest in my life in a different way. And so it affected my self-worth. It affected how I related to the world. I really felt like I was a victim of my circumstances, but trying not to be. On the outside, you wouldn't have thought that I was in a victim mentality, but on the inside, I was. It was just like bad things happened to me, or like I'll smile through this, but it's not, I just stopped expecting the same things of my life. And my life reflected that greatly. I ended up heavily bulimic for about a decade, binging and purging all day long sometimes, just destroying my system. I was addicted to Adderall. I was drinking every single night, doing tons of drugs, just party drugs, thinking this was just normal for somebody my age. I ended up in an emotionally abusive relationship with somebody that landed me in jail. It was really bad. At one point, I basically had to dig my way out of the hole I had dug myself. And it was a really slow process, but it was really rewarding, and I learned a lot along the way, and it just still affects how I show up in the world today. So I still need those tools. I don't think you ever get to a place where it's like, okay, well, now I've learned my lesson, my life is great. Yeah. It's just that you develop enough tools in your toolbox that you know what to go to when life gets you down again. So that's what I share on my podcast.
Well, and that's what I love, is that A, you are so entirely honest with your life experience, and that you are unabridged with sharing it with people. And it's such a refreshing and a good attitude to hear from someone, to know that yes, you can go through horrible trials and tribulations in your life. You can go through self-inflicted, like your host right here, folks, y'all have heard my story, very much the same thing, going through self-inflicted, self-imposed trials and tribulations with addiction, things like that. And very much bringing myself to a point of, okay, well, I've got to do something because it can't just be this. But it was really much more the fact of my energy and what I was putting out is what was fully the self-fulfilling prophecy. And whenever my mom described it as, me being, like a kid with a little cloud that just hung over them.
It's so funny that you say that. I was on another podcast earlier today and I said self-fulfilling prophecy a few times regarding just the way you, what you believe about your life, what you believe about yourself really is going to manifest in who you attract into your life, what you are feel like you're capable of doing, what you will actually put yourself out there to do. Yep. It's really insane. And the moment I realized that, things shifted pretty quickly. I mean, it was still a slow climb up, but from the moment that I shifted that belief, I could already tell that it was worth it. It was such a significant difference. I just had to then fix all of the material things and the people around me, really get myself out of the situation was the hard part.
Well, and fix the way that you were A, thinking about the situation, and B, reacting to the situation, you know? Yeah. Because your thinking about it is what makes you do the action, and your doing the action is what makes you hang out with those people to come back to the loop of feeling bad. And once again, being that self-fulfilling prophecy. So what was it for you that really was that moment of pivot where you were like, wow, wait a minute. This is fully within my control. This is fully right now a choice that I am making.
You know, it took me a while to get to that point, but I do know the point that I realized, wow, I've totally screwed up my life. And I was sitting in a jail cell, in jail for somebody else's crime. I was with basically a sociopath. I honestly believe he was a sociopath, but I didn't know. Sociopaths are very charming. And when I first met this guy, he gave me a diamond necklace on our first date. And I was at this point in my life where I was already looking for somebody to just take me out of my life and just like sweep me into theirs. I thought that would fix my problems. And so when he showed up in a Mercedes-Benz showering me with gifts, I was like, this guy's great. He never seemed to really be that upset about anything. And then it was like slowly but surely this facade started to unravel. But it was so slow that I didn't realize it was happening. It was just like one chip away at my worth at a time, to where by the time the worst of it came, I was already so low, I didn't know what else to expect for myself. And so he was cheating on me. He was had a gambling addiction. He was addicted to meth. And then I found out he was secretly robbing houses. Oh. And so I thought he had had a jewelry business, and I ended up helping him with his jewelry business.
That's a lot of jewelry business, if you know what I mean. If you thought the man had a jewelry business, that's a lot of house robbing.
The weekend after I met him, and so I was making a ton of excuses for him because my dad had died, and I was like, sure, I will show up for you the way I wish somebody showed up for me during all of my trials. Yeah. And so I was making excuses for pretty much everything he did, but he still just had this, people that met him, he was very easy to get along with. He was very impressive to people around him. I'd be in business with meetings with him, and everyone would be like, oh, Matt has all this going for him, whatever. And so, and then turns out he was actually stealing jewelry from homes, which I had no idea. I thought he inherited this business from his dad. It's actually crazy, the story about how he got most of his jewelry. He robbed an old man that would go to some little farmer's market in the Palm Desert area. And I guess he stalked him for a while, realized he had millions of jewelry on him. And it would happen every Friday and Saturday. So he's like, there's no way he carries this jewelry in to his house on the weekends. So he broke into his garage on Friday and stole about $1 million worth of jewelry. Wow. And then he was selling it on eBay. So I didn't even think to suspect this, because it's like, who does that? Number one. Number two.
Who went out flipping things on eBay and Craigslist and things like that nowadays?
It's like, totally trackable. Yeah. So it's like, who sells that online? It's insane. Lord. And so, but then his gambling addiction was taking over. And so he was just taking it to pawn shops to get quick money, because he would spend like 30 grand in a day in the high limit room. He'd just be handing me hundreds. So I'd just be ignoring whatever was going on, just thinking I was with a rich guy. Anyways, I had actually gone to Hawaii for a month to get away from him, because I could feel it eating away at my soul. And as I left, I got my stuff together. I started running every day, eating healthy, surrounding myself with good people. And I was like, okay, this is what I feel like. And I felt good. But then the moment that I flew home, it was like that old hollow pull came back, because I had built myself up on the outside, but I hadn't really healed the wounds on the inside. Sure. So when he called with another sob story about how he got his life together when I was away, I was just like an addict relapsing. And so we ended up hanging out for a few days, and then all of a sudden we got pulled over on the way to lunch, and I thought it was for a busted taillight or for speeding or something.
Yeah. And what you get pulled over for?
And turns out it was they made us exit the vehicle and they searched it. And I just remember this police officer opening the trunk of the car, and there were dozens of lock boxes and cases of stolen jewelry. And so his jewelry business had been stealing it from homes that were for sale and easier to get into by clipping the lock boxes. And he had used to do loans, so he had all the MLS reports where he would know if somebody didn't live there anymore, if they worked from 9 to 5, whatever. So he basically knew when to go in. And I ended up in jail for that. And I was sitting in jail wondering what to do. And my rock bottom moment was realizing that I was trying to find a place to throw up my food in jail. And I was just like, this person, I honestly wanted to die at that moment. Like, I was just like, I was the kid who would play video games, and if I lost a life too early in the game, I'd just press the reset button so I could go in with a full, full life force and a clean slate. And I couldn't press the reset button on that. And so it was a big turning point for me on just, I'm either going to die or I'm going to make some changes. And unfortunately, I had to deal with that for the next 2 years. The court date kept getting pushed back. Yep. Since we were both arrested, if one of us fought the charges and took it to trial, then we both had to go to trial. And he brought a really expensive attorney. He really couldn't fight the charges because he was definitely he definitely did it.
He was definitely guilty.
I wanted to fight the charges. Yeah, I was faced with the option of basically fighting the charges and guaranteeing he would get 10 years in jail or taking a felony, and he would get to take a deal too. And so I was just still so low at that time, didn't really think of my life worth a lot at that moment.
Yeah.
And I was the martyr, and I took the felony because I couldn't do that to someone that I loved, even though I was mad at him. I did move away to LA to get away from him. He followed me. He still tormented me for about another year, breaking into my house. It was crazy. But then he got arrested for another string of robberies and spent the next 9 years in jail. And at that time I was just finally free at that moment, I felt. And so in that moment I decided that I wasn't going to waste my freedom. I was going to basically take back control of my own life and start making decisions for me instead of thinking somebody else was going to save me, because that did not turn out well.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is that idea, the, like you said, somebody else to save you. It's hard to come to the concept that you are really the only one that is responsible for that situation. And it's just hard. I've been very much in the same situation. So it's one that when it happens to you, it's hard not to just curl up and want to go away. The fact mm-hmm. that you actually use that as a stealing moment in your life to, pardon the pun there, totally unintentional, but as a moment to really steal your resolve. And to say, like, no, I am the person actively in charge here. I am the one that needs to get a hold of something and get control of this. It's a big, hard step to make, and it's not easy. And it really does take that attitude of, I guess, the way I put it to people is righteous selfishness. That concept of finally seeing yourself as a worthwhile investment and stopping investing your time in other projects, basically other, like, making people projects, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I realized at one point it applied to both the way I was handling myself and the way I was handling this person that was actively, like, not helping my life. It's just, you can't steal somebody's rock bottom. You're going to go down with them, and all the while they're going to lose the lesson. It really doesn't help anybody. And so if you expect somebody else to save you, you don't change in that process.
Yeah.
They might learn a lot from the whole experience, but you're not going to. And so you might get out of that one situation, but you're going to attract one very similar because you haven't had to grow through it at all. Mm. And so now it's interesting. I have a sort of a ruthless view of how I would deal with a family member or a friend with addiction, because I feel like it's what I needed. I feel like people need to hit their rock bottom, and the more you enable them, the more you just cushion that, which makes it deeper and deeper every single time.
Yeah. I've literally had a therapist tell me one time, because I explained to him how I got to my point of addiction. And it was, you know, circular logic, circular thinking, things like that. And I was like, I literally had to just put up kind of a three strikes rule, where it's like, hey, man, I'll try to help you three times, but after that, like, I dust my hands. It's tough. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. But I cannot very well sit there and expend all that energy trying to help somebody that does not want to be helped.
Exactly.
Or has not come to the point of realizing that, no, you are the one fully in control of this situation right here.
Right. Because it's like, why are they letting somebody fix the whole situation for them?
Yeah.
They're either blaming other people at the same time, because that's how you manage to not have to take responsibility for it.
Sure.
Or they don't realize that they have the power to change their life. And that's how their life is going to turn out anyways, until something snaps them out of it and makes them realize that. And usually it's the hard lesson where you get that realization.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it took me a night in jail. I moved away to Maine for 5 years, really got away from my problems, so to speak, like in full air quotes, got away from my problems, came back to the problem.
Yeah.
And kind of just fulfilled the circuit of karma and was like, okay, well, now that you ran away from it, let's face it. Let's deal with it. And yeah, I spent 2 years on paper, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it was a hard, hard point in my life. But at the same time, it was a point that, thank God I had it. Thank God I had the point of realization. And you know, I myself, like I told the therapist, he's like, wow, that's tough, man. That must be really hard for you. And I'm like, well, it was at first. Now it's really just a whole lot of common sense. And like I said, it's righteous selfishness. I take time to make music and do my podcast because it makes me happy. And when I'm happy, I can help other people.
That's one of the things I've been focusing on.
Yeah, if I'm not happy, I don't have the energy to help other people.
Plus, I really do believe that the energy you're in when you create, and that means creating a product, a relationship, you're just putting yourself out there, that's going to be the energy that you put out into the world and that you attract right back to you.
Yeah.
So when I'm feeling down, I don't just force myself to get to work and push through it. I do something first that shifts my energy, and then I get to work because I think it just has different results.
Well, and let's start kind of cracking that nut a little bit, because that is really the heart and soul of this episode tonight, is learning to shift that energy. Because right now, our whole society is inundated with fear, anxiety. I was trying to explain to somebody in a conversation the other day the fact of fight or flight, and how it's literally the most powerful mechanism, aside from sexual drive to procreate, in the human body. It literally is. And to know that fight or flight mechanism is what drives us in so many different ways. It's what helped us survive for millennia, but is also what can be hijacked by media. It's what can be hijacked by just about anything, even by yourself. You can stymie yourself to a point of inaction, which is what I did with my circular thinking. I would literally think about it, think about the result, think about another possible result, and think about so many that I would think to a point of like, well, why would I do anything? which is horrifying. Like, that's just horrible. But I know so many people that do it, and it's so easy. It's so much an easier path than it is to look at a negative situation and possibly see something positive, or possibly see some way that you can grow from it.
Right. Well, it was actually interesting, because that terrible experience that I went through, that I put myself through, that I accepted in my life, after that, it was interesting because I felt like I ruined my life, right? And so I thought, like, I can't press the reset button on this one. Like, now I'm a felon for the rest of my life. Like, what do I do? Not only that, I have bulimia, which everyone told me is something that lasts a lifetime that people never really heal from. So I had ruined my body. I'd ruined my life is how I'm thinking about it. Mm. And I knew I wasn't dying quite yet. And I wasn't going to I've never been the type, like, I have had plenty of moments in my life where I was depressed enough to feel like I wanted to die, but never to the point that I was willing to do it, you know? And so I just had to do the next thing, and that was move. I had to get out of that area. And so when I did, though, I started figuring out what I wanted to do for a job. And I wasn't going to write that crazy story on two lines of a job application. So I started looking at my options, and I started taking classes online about digital marketing and just diving into forums. And it's interesting because I feel like we want to have everything figured out. We want to know exactly how our life's going to work out. We want to have the plan. But what normally we need to do is just figure out what's just the next thing I need to do, just the next thing I can do even. Yeah. What is the next thing that I think about that kind of gets me a little bit excited or feels like there's possibility in it? And then just do it. You don't need to know what happens after that. And for me,
yeah,
I had been doing stuff as free as possible because I didn't really have a lot of money at that time. So I was trying to find all these hacks in internet marketing, and I ended up winning tickets online to go to Traffic and Conversion Summit, which is still one of the biggest digital marketing conferences around. And they actually used to have it in Austin at this time. It was one of the first years. And so I went there, and there was a Wicked Smart competition at the end. You just get to go up and share your best internet marketing secret. And all these people were sharing cool secrets, but they were people that were like also putting thousands of dollars in ads and like sharing their copywriting secret. I had just a completely free hack that really did help make me money by when I was helping my friend sell her product. And so I went up there and shared my secret, and I ended up winning. And not only did I win a computer, it set up my freelance career for the next 2 years. And if I wouldn't have taken action on those things or thought, what can I do from my circumstances? Like, what do I feel like I can't do? Now, what is that guiding me towards? Because I think a lot of times we look at what can't we do? Like, everything's shut down. We can't do anything. Yeah. Everything, like, we can't go meet up with friends, so we can't do anything. But what if you instead realize that we already have too many options as it is, and that often puts us into indecision? So what if you use these limitations as guideposts that are steering you exactly towards where you need to go, and just trust that that is your direction? And so for me, it shifted me away from just getting a job and towards entrepreneurship. And if that felony would have happened, I don't know if I would be doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very much of the same mind that without my situation, I would not be sharing my story with people. I wouldn't be going out and talking. I wouldn't be teaching workshops, that kind of stuff. Very, very much the same, because I want people to learn from their mistakes, and that it is okay. It's okay to make mistakes. Like, without mistakes, I tried to explain to my wife the concept of the negative reinforcement, and how negative reinforcement teaches you more than positive reinforcement. Now, hold on with me. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying you learn 10 times faster through negative reinforcement than positive reinforcement. Here's a prime example. My three and a few month old son. As many times as he has been told over 3 years of his life, no, fire hot. The stove is hot. Don't touch it, son. Don't touch that. It's hot, hot. Hot. See? Hot. Nope. All of a month ago, he learned hot. And buddy, he ain't tried to grab food early since. Because he finally touched hot. And it literally just, I saw my wife's eyes like almost jiggle back and forth like somebody rewinding a tape. Like, oh my God, he's absolutely right. Like, it was so crazy to hear that moment and see that moment happen, where it was like, yeah, you learn now, huh? And now he goes up and he sees it and he's like, ooh, hot, 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 hot. It's like, yeah, yes, it is. That's right. Hold on. Dad'll put it in the freezer and cool it down for you, buddy. But it's funny that negative reinforcement teaches us so much, but at the same time can lead us down the utterly wrong road at the same time.
Well, it's like with your kid, he realizes, well, he doesn't have to touch that hot stove. I think the spiral many of us get into is something happens and then maybe something happens again. And we believe in some way that we deserve it, or that that's how just how life is, or that's just how our life is, or I'm just bad luck, or whatever it is. And so then we keep getting ourselves into those things. And it's like, I know there's plenty in my situation that was out of my control, but there was plenty that was in my control. Because it's like all of the situations presented to us in life are for us to learn. So I call in the ones that my little soul needs to learn, and I either handle it well or I don't. And for a while I didn't. But in that victim mentality that these are the things that happened to me, then those are the things that kept happening to me. Those are the things that I would subconsciously move towards. And it's just like the reticular activating system in the brain where it's like you suddenly you're shopping for a Tesla and you see Teslas everywhere. Well, if you're shopping for opportunities, you see opportunities everywhere. If you want to see evil in the world, you see evil everywhere.
That's right.
And so you get to choose at any moment which thing you are focusing on to see. And that is what you will see everywhere. But first you have to make the choice.
That's right. That's right. You utterly have to make the choice of the fact that this is there. It exists. It's an option. It may not be what I've done. It may not be what I've chosen, but it's there. I had a boss, and it was after I moved to Portland and really started cleaning my life up, cleaning myself up, and started regathering myself spiritually and kind of refilling that cup. He came to me one day and was like, Chris, I don't know. And we'd been getting like noise violations like crazy from the hotel across the street with our music. Why they opened up a 5-star hotel across the street from a basement rock and roll club, I'll never know. But like I told that, like, I kept bringing up positive things. And he was like, Chris, how can you constantly find something positive no matter how negative a situation is? And I was like, I have to. I can't not. Like, I've just chosen not to let negativity be my option. It's just not my reach. It's not my go-to anymore. It does no good for me. It doesn't help the situation. It's not going to really help you find a solution to the situation. So why even feed it?
Right. Yeah. And it's a hard habit to get into if that's not currently your habit. Like, I remember when I was first really switching to have a positive mindset. It's like there's the honeymoon period where you're like, oh, well, I'll just make everything positive. And you're probably almost annoyingly positive to all your friends because it's not the real you yet. Like, you're just like overpowering your normal mindset. And then, but then like some bad things would happen and I'd lose it for a while. And then, so I'd have to make the conscious decision. And I think people think with positivity, I've gotten that a lot from my friends who I know tend to have the negative mindsets. They're like, I'm just tired of all that positive mindset BS. Like, it seems so fake, and it's fake because when they do it, it's fake. When I first started, it felt fake. But guess what happens? Like, if you start playing the piano, you're not a piano player yet. It feels fake. You're pretending to play, but then you keep playing and you keep learning. And it's like, you keep coming back to that positive mindset and you start to rewire your brain to where now you become a positive person.
That's right.
And I don't think that it sticks forever all the time. Like, you'll still have your low moments, but that's the purpose of finding the tools and remembering, oh wait, hey, my life looks pretty negative right now. How is my mindset? What have I been saying to myself? How have I been viewing the world and showing up in it? And oftentimes you can tell that you let your mindset slip a little bit and it's time to go back to the work to get it back to where it was before.
Yeah, it really is that karate reflex mentality of, you know why a black belt makes it look easy? Because he has done that same kata and movement 100,000 times.
Exactly.
Sure. Like people see me work and they're like, my God, you're just so at home and comfortable with what you're doing with all those wires and buttons and everything live. Like, I would be totally overwhelmed. And it's like, yeah, but I've been doing this for almost 20 years. There's a reason why I make it look easy, because it's easy to me. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, it's like, look at the guy doing the human flag, and it's because he's been showing up and he's got the muscles that mine have, I have not built yet. But it's like, it takes repetition to build those muscles, whether it's like the mindset muscles, the physical muscles, whatever it happens to be.
Absolutely. And it hurts. It's not fun. It's not fun to try to think positive whenever you're so used to thinking negatively all the time. Sorry, folks.
It's not fun to try. It isn't.
No.
But it's also not fun to stay negative. Well, you think it feels good because you're maintaining your status quo, but it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. It's like that addictive feeling of like the same, it feels good to be addicted to heroin. Like, it doesn't feel good. You just think it does.
Well, like Master Yoda says about the dark side. No, not stronger, just easier. Quicker.
Yes.
It's not stronger than the good side. It's just easier and quicker. It's a lot. It's, you know, kind of one of the things I have been fighting inside myself for the last couple of years, honestly, audience and Melissa, is sarcasm.
I love sarcasm.
I know, me too. But it's the low-hanging fruit. And my wife, who teaches comedy and improv comedy, I always make the point of, it's the low-hanging fruit of comedy. It's right there. All you got to do is, you know, make a quippy remark about, quippy observation about something that somebody jacked up or messed up. And then she always reminds me, sarcasm is not comedy.
Good point.
And then it brings me back to the point of, sarcasm is always at somebody's expense.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. When you stop and think about that, how quick are we as a society, because we're used to that rapier wit comedy, how quick are we to rip somebody apart? How quick are we to make that quippy remark on social media where we aren't face-to-face in that personal zone, you know? And when you're in that personal zone, that when you're in that bubble, that's when you can really feel and empathize, you know, that's when you can really pick up on the vibe of somebody. That's why when you walk into that certain party, sometimes you walk in and go, oh yeah, this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Plus, I found that whenever I feel myself having a lot of judgment for somebody else, oftentimes I can see that it is an exact mirror of where I hold the most judgment for myself.
Yes.
So when you see that, it's like, it's not, they deserve it. They deserve it. It's like, nobody deserves it. You don't deserve it either. And instead, can you see where you are basically just putting that type of energy, that type of judgment into the world? You're holding it to all the standards. And so there's been a number of times where it's highlighted how I was being hard on my body, my expectations for myself, how I show up as a woman in a company, all sorts of things.
Absolutely.
But it is a really good insight to see your relationship with yourself based on your relationship with others.
Yeah. It really is. And, you know, with that in mind, Melissa, let's start talking a little bit about, I guess, the positive attitude that we can have toward everything that's happening right now. Our conversation before the show, folks, it was very personal in a lot of ways. I'm not going to bring a lot of it up. But I myself have been going through a crazy funk. And that's what I put, that's how I put it. That's how I put it to my doctor all of a few days ago, whenever I called up to get a refill on my anxiety meds. And they were like, well, time for a meeting, Chris. It's that once a year you got to do the doctor thing and have a meeting about your meds. So I told them I'm in my typical funk, and I get in a funk whenever I come off the road from a show and I don't really like have a show booked, you know, like I know it's gonna happen, but I don't have something on the books like for 2 weeks after or a week after, you know, where it's like I come home, I got 5 days, then I'm going to pack and leave in a day. That kind of stuff. And not necessarily that I get worried. It's just I'm not like physically busy doing what I do every day, you know. I'm not going through the rote motions. And it literally just bothers my routine, you know.
Yeah.
And sends me into a spiral of funk. And not the good Bootsy Collins kind of funk. It's literally like, wow, it's almost depression, but it's not quite. And like I told the doctor, the issue is right now I'm in suspended funk. not that I'm not busy, not that, you know, Podcast Cadet hadn't launched in new ways, not that Austin Hot Mods hadn't relaunched, and that I haven't, like, secured distribution for my music, and, like, there's been amazing, great things that have happened during the time of COVID in my life. But literally because I am not on the road or actively fielding calls for work, I'm in a funk.
Yeah, I felt very similar. I've had a lot of ups and downs through this whole process. And I'm just grateful that I have the tools to come back to. But doesn't mean I haven't had some really low moments.
Sure.
But I've been doing a lot of journaling during COVID because it helps to get out of that circular mindset, as you talked about. It's funny because we can have a circular mindset without realizing that that's actually what's going on.
Yeah.
We think that we have it all figured out in our head, but if we laid it out, we'd see things from a totally different perspective. It's suddenly a little bit more objective. And so I think what happens, though, is that for a lot of us, you know, we were goal-oriented and we had structure and we had something we were working towards, and then everything was shifted. And it was shifted in a way where a lot of us felt like the rug was pulled out from under us, and not just once, a few times, with total uncertainty about how it's all going to play out. It's not like this is going to end and everything's going to go back to normal at this date, because then we could start making plans again. So it's like, yeah, the world's outside of our control. It can feel hard to keep structure. It can feel uncomfortable setting long-term goals, because is that even going to be worth it? And so what I've been doing that's really been helping is focusing on how I feel. I said earlier that I really do believe that what you create during whatever mindset state that you're in, whatever state of energy that you're in, that's what you're going to attract. It's kind of like if you go into a conference with in a horrible mood and you fake a smile, you're not going to meet good people.
The good
people probably won't be drawn to you. There won't be opportunities that are opening up to you. And so it's like, don't even go in that sense unless you can kind of shift that. And so I feel that same way where I'm like, well, how am I feeling right now? And what do I want to feel? And so what I do sometimes, like, for example, say I want to feel productive today, but it just feels impossible to get to work because I don't know what my next plan is. I'll do something totally different that makes me feel productive, like redesigning my office, and then shift into work mode. So that's how I've kind of allowing myself or making myself show up, because I think that's the hardest part sometimes when everything's in disarray. And then when I'm there, I haven't been setting quite as many long-term goals. I'm finding things that give me purpose for right now. I've had so many people reach out to me and they're like, I can't find my purpose. I have no idea what my big thing I'm supposed to do in life. And it's like, that's not how you find it, because you have too many expectations that put too much pressure on yourself. The same thing is happening right now. A lot of us have lost that sense of purpose that we thought we had connected with before. And now I think it's teaching a lot of us that purpose isn't that big goal that you're setting out to do. It's something that feels meaningful right here, right now, no matter what that has to be. It doesn't have to be work oriented. It could be family oriented. It can be self-care oriented. And once you do that, then you start building the self-belief that your life has meaning. And that's when you start to attract more and more things that feel meaningful into your life. But first you have to shift the way you feel, whatever that takes, whether it's a bike ride, whether it's volunteering, whether it's like giving a homeless man a dollar, like anything that shifts the way you feel.
Absolutely, absolutely, because it literally is those little things, and it's hard to say it without sounding cheesy as hell, folks. It really is, but it is the smallest of things that you have to look for every single day. The smallest of things, and it could be as simple as, you know, like giving somebody a dollar or a bottle of water that you have in your car. You know, something like that. It could be as simple as going out of your way to get somebody a bottle of water. So we really do have to keep our eyes open. And that was a concept that I taught for years whenever I worked with youth in youth ministry with junior high and high school students, was the fact of, and your host is gonna go a little step up here and get a little religious and bring up the G word, God. But if you're looking for that quote God moment in your life every day, stop looking for big things, man. Just like it says in the book, he's the small gentle voice in the large wind. You got to be quiet and still to hear it. And it literally is the smallest of things that will get you through it. And to know that you're out there teaching that principle with the Mind Love podcast, you're out there teaching the concepts and the principles of mindfulness, because that really is what it is. It's learning to be aware emotionally of your situation, not just the situation around you, but your situation right now. How are you feeling? How are you impacted by what's going on? And how is that making you reverberate into the world around you?
Yeah, I agree completely. I identify with a broader spirituality, but that
same,
that God, the universe, the love energy, it's just the life force of all things, really does come back to that stillness. And I think we are programmed based on how to achieve in this world, based on societal mm-hmm. expectations, how we should look. And we have all these expectations for ourselves and what we perceive to be from others, from society, from everything. And this voice in our head becomes so loud that we think that that voice is actually us. Like that voice inside that's telling me that, no, you're lazy, you can't do this, whatever, like this is a bad idea. That becomes the voice that we think is ours when it's not. We're the little voice behind it. We're the ones observing that voice, and that doesn't have to really dictate anything. The more that you can detach from it and just observe it, the more you can see, yeah, okay, I get that I'm focusing on the negative right now. I get that I'm repeating all the things that I heard in the media, or I'm triggered, and so I'm repeating hateful comments towards all my Facebook friends on social media right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But it's like, but how is it making you feel? That voice isn't really me, and I have the power to change it. If the voice is really loud, that voice is a habit, and habits are difficult to change. And so it's going to take a lot of observation and detachment and reprogramming. But it takes a lot of work at first. But when you build the new habit, your life reflects it, and all that work was worth it. Otherwise, you have to live with that negative voice for the rest of your life and think that it's you, and think that that's your life, and think that you have no control, and that is not serving you.
Yeah, yeah, no, precisely. And that's just it. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve any good whatsoever. The fact is, the loudest voice does not mean that voice is right.
The loudest voice is usually the wrongest.
Just because the voice can scream louder over the rabble of the world than anything else does not mean that voice is right, folks. It doesn't. Believe me, I worked with one of the rabbling voices. that doesn't mean he's right. And it's so hard to get out of that mentality. It's so hard to, because it literally is addictive. It's a quicker, shorter path to a lot of things. And unfortunately, it's a quicker, shorter path to a lot of detrimental ways, not only in our life, but in our society in general, to literally take the low road in so many ways, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. What was it that really started you on the journey that has become the Mind Love podcast, Melissa?
I was working for somebody that there was a lot of opportunities for growth within the company. I taught myself a lot of things in that company, but I was miserable. The person I was working for, it was sort of a toxic atmosphere. And I knew I had to do something to make myself happy. With everything that I had been through, I was tired. I was over dismissing my intuitive voice. And so whereas in my earlier years, the universe had to punch me in the face before I got the hint and made a change. After that, it was just like, nope, this isn't working. I'm moving on. And this job, I almost did that. I decided to start something on the side. I still thought I needed the money, wasn't ready to just quit everything. I didn't have a lot of savings. And so I started Mind Love on the side. But first, I started a few things that didn't work out. I was chasing outside things again. For example, I started a travel blog because who doesn't want to get paid for travel?
Oh, sure.
And I knew how to do marketing. It sounded like a dream job. And so I started doing it. And then I realized, and I got a bunch of free travel. It was awesome. But I realized very quickly, number one, I don't like blogging. And number two, I do not want to be on the top of Machu Picchu vlogging and like telling people what to do with their vacation.
Yeah, my that's not what the top of Machu Picchu is for.
Yeah. And so I think that a lot of people don't think ahead in those ways. They're like, well, this is a good opportunity. I could do this. I'm good at this. But what do you really want your days to look like? What are you really good at? What's your strong suit? How can you dive into those? Which job are you going to arrive at flow state the most often? Because I really do believe that we humans are here to create. And the less that we create, the less happy that we're going to be. And it doesn't mean to be that you need to be an artist or anything like that. Just create something. Put something out in the world. And we live in a world of consuming right now. So that's another thing that really needs to be intentionally counterbalanced with everything happening right now. But I finally got down. I'm like, what do I want my day to look like? What do I want to do with my life? What do I see in my future? What am I good at? I got a lot of compliments on my voice. I love to talk. I wanted to be a public speaker, and I thought, what can get me closer to that stage with nobody else's permission? And podcasting came up. I thought, what am I endlessly curious about that I will always keep learning about no matter what, whether I'm getting paid for it or not. And it happens to be about self-development, the power of the mind, spirituality, all of those things. And so I decided to start Mind Love. And coming from a place where it was just so suited for me because I took the right steps in figuring that out, I had a lot of passion going into it, which really helped me to grow it quickly. I was strategic in how I grew it. I grew it very quickly in the first few months, was asked to speak at Podcast Movement with some of the top podcasters in the world, like Jordan Harbinger and Pat Flynn. And then I just kind of took off from there. I was able to create digital products, create a membership site. I was speaking more often, although that's put on hold for a little bit. Who knows? I think I have a gig in November, but we'll see. That's how I got here.
And what an amazing journey. That's what I love, is that your journey is so utterly true to life and organic. It's not one where your success came from, you know, your college degree, or came because your family started a business, anything like that. It came from the fact that you failed miserably. Miserably. I'm one of those people that when people look at you and go, you're a failure, you're looking, yep.
I prefer to look at it as a really deep pivot. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I think there's certain words like mistakes and failure that have such a connotation, but really it's a recalibration.
Yeah.
These are the moments that we're going down the wrong path and we're not getting the hint. And what I have learned since then is you will get tapped a number of times, whether you think it's, whether you see it as the universe or God or just your own intuition, your own inner voice, you know, most of the time we know what we need to do. We're just not doing it. And we're making excuses not to do it.
That's right.
And the more we do that, the more we're going to sink lower and lower until the universe punches us in the face. So we get the hint. And now I just don't wait that long. I'm like, I have a feeling I need to get out of LA. And I was out of LA within weeks.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Like once you learn to see these signs, folks, once you've given enough energy to that circuit, you learn to tell when the circuit's even warming up. Like, literally. As an electrician and people who work with gear know that, like, certain pieces of gear, like guitar amps, things like that, have certain smells whenever they turn on. You know, and you can be in a club and be like, ooh, somebody just turned on a tube amp. I can smell that thing warming up. It's literally the exact same thing. And I look at it very much as the process of Thomas Edison and his famous quote where somebody said, you know, you failed at making the light bulb over 100 times. And he said, no, I didn't fail at making the light bulb over 100 times. I learned over 100 ways not to make a light bulb.
Exactly.
And, you know, it really is that twist to the positive that you have to do, is that it's not that you failed, it's that you tried.
And you can shift your mindset about absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Everything that we do is based on some sort of belief about ourselves or about the world. And your beliefs are never right or wrong.
Yeah.
They are either limiting or they're empowering. And so if there's a belief that you have that feels limiting, that the world is against you, that you're not capable, then you need, that should be your trigger to see how you can reframe it to something more empowering. And you always can. You can always just choose to look at something differently. And the thing is you might not believe it at first, but if you keep choosing that belief and you keep taking actions based on that belief, that is how you build the new self-beliefs. It's always through the action, not by the overthinking.
Yeah. Yeah, really it is. And, you know, I have gotten to the point now, and God bless my wife, literally, like, people with our mindset, Melissa, really do require a very, very special partner. Somebody with, like, the patience of Job, like a saint. I had somebody recently who I hired to do an audit on one of my websites call me a serial entrepreneur. And I was like, wow, that is probably the most, A, apt description, and B, most like, hey, man, find something else to do with your time. description of me that I could ever hear, because it was like, yeah, man, if you enjoy a hobby, you just make a business out of it, don't you?
Well, like, I'm lucky that my husband's very similar. He's also an entrepreneur. He also has the positive mindset. So why
exactly.
We ended up together. So
I mean,
were able to spawn off each other.
That's just it. My wife teaches improv and sketch comedy, that kind of stuff. So for me to want to come over here and start playing with keyboards, or for me to come over and say, like, hey, I have an interview tonight. She's like, great. I have one scheduled at 3 tomorrow for my podcast.
Right. But see, I think that those are the people that believe that life isn't just about showing up to work in a job that you hate and making the best of it, of a miserable situation. You can make the best of it by actually making the best of it.
That's right.
Deciding what your best life looks like and making actions towards that. And I think what can happen for a lot of people is we get this idea and then we start looking at the gap between where we are and where we want to be.
Yes.
And when you're looking at the gap, you're still just looking at lack of what you don't have yet.
Yep.
And so I think it's really important to set that as almost like your GPS destination in your, like a GPS device, that's your destination.
Yeah.
But guess what? If you're driving from California to Maine, you're not thinking about the last turn you take to Maine. You have to zoom back in and realize, oh, I'm turning right. And then I'm turning left. And so it's always comes back to that present moment. Alan Watts said that the secret of life is to be completely involved in what you're doing right here, right now. And that has been the quote that has really affected most of my life recently, because I think we can get so consumed with the media, so consumed with what we need to do 10 steps from now, that we forget to just be immersed in the world, to get hands on with what we're doing. And so the more that we can come back to that and focus on how to get our hands right into the next step of our journey, the more fun it becomes, because all we ever have is that right here and right now.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. Precisely. It really is the fact of the right here, right now. About a year or so ago, I had a chance to interview the head of the Joseph Campbell Society. And we had a very, very long conversation about the concept of the mythology of the hero. And even I'm getting ready to have him on again, hopefully, coming up on the election, because it really is that fact of, like, that's what we look for in our president. And we should not be looking for a savior. The only savior here is us, people. We save ourselves. Quit looking at somebody else for your salvation. Quit looking at somebody else for the solution to your problem. It's right there in front of you. It's with you the whole time. You are the empowerment. You are the vessel through which your course can be corrected. And that really is the message of this episode, straight up, is that you have the means by which to make yourself fulfilled during this time. You have the means by which I've seen so many people in my freelance community, who are freelance AV technicians, who have repurposed themselves, repurposed their skill set. And it's been so great. Because they maybe hit a little skip in the beat, something like that, but they found something to keep themselves busy. They found something to keep themselves moving, to move forward, to even grow themselves as business people, you know? And learn new skills, learn new trades, focus on other things. So that's how you can use this time positively. That's how you can absolutely use this time as a shift of mentality, like Melissa was talking about earlier. So, Melissa, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show to talk about all this stuff. Thank you so much for the Mind Love podcast. Since I met you, I have been a listener. I've loved it. It's been great. It's been great to hear other people out there that are like, get up, get on it, do what you do. Just do you every day, and keep doing you. It's fantastic. So thank you so much for the positive energy, the positive push in the universe that you put out there regularly.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's... I think we attract what we put out. So
absolutely.
It's got a little selfishness to it. It's definitely rewarding.
Like I said, it's that righteous selfishness. And I feel free to steal the term. That's my term. You aren't stealing it from anybody, from me, and I gave it to you. So it really is that, like, no, I'm going to be selfish today, and I'm going to do something for me, because I need to be refilled. I need to be able to help people. I need to be able to have energy to give to my wife, to my kids. Like, good God, I just turned 45 a couple days ago, and I went on a half day bass fishing excursion. Never been like specifically bass fishing in my life. I've been on a few chartered boats, like out in salt water, things like that. I've freshwater fished my whole life. But literally that half day out on the water where I wasn't piloting a boat, I wasn't in charge of tackle, I wasn't in charge of rods, it was just in somebody else's hands and just relinquishing control to somebody else's system, it was fun. It was beautiful. Feel free to give it a shot, folks. Feel free to relinquish some control sometime to the universe and really just put what you want out there. And feed it and let it happen. Melissa, it is time for shameless self-promotion. Tell everybody where they can go to get your amazing newsletter, to get your Mind Love podcast, to follow you on Instagram, all that good stuff.
My podcast is called Mind Love, two words. You can find it on any of your favorite podcast platforms or just go to mindlove.com. I'm on social media at MindLoveMelissa, and I do have a daily email list called the Morning Mind Love that just sends you a little inspirational note from the universe. A lot of people love it. They say it's exactly what they needed to hear. It feels like I'm in their mind. And so you can sign up for that on mindlove.com or just text the word morning to 33777.
Fantastic. Melissa, thank you so much once again for coming on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time. We'd love to have you on again, have you on regularly to talk about things like this, to talk about how you can shift your consciousness, shift your mentality, shift literally the way that you live your life into a more positive way of being that benefits not just you, but everybody that surrounds you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Please do hold the line while we close the show out. While you're online checking out the Mind Love podcast, as well as Melissa Monte's awesome, awesome daily newsletter, make sure to stop on by Dudes and Beer podcast. That is where you can get all the episodes. That's where you can get the knowledge vault, where you can find all of the declassified government programs. We are getting ready to soon be having Mike Turber on again. We will also be having Dr. John Hall on to talk about new things in the world of targeted individuals. We'll be having Graham Phillips on very soon to talk about the search for the staff of Moses. I cannot wait for that one because I love Graham Phillips. I've been a raging Graham Phillips fan for almost 20 years now. I've heard him on Coast to Coast AM and other such programs. So the fact that he comes on here and talks about things is one of my favorite things in the world. Make sure to stay tuned for other great stuff from Dudes and Beer. We're going to have a great, great fifth year, y'all. Fantastic guests, fantastic stuff coming up. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Make sure to take care of your families during this time. Fill your cups, everybody. And till next time, drink responsibly. Can't be good, be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.